there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to give tzedakah, and there's also an issur d'oraisa to not give tzedakah. And Baruch Hashem, we're in a community where we have a lot of opportunities to do so, which is wonderful on one hand, but on the other hand, could also at times be difficult. And I wanted to talk about the parameters of when a person would be in violation of not giving tzedakah when tzedakah is asked from them. Because if we look at the pasuk says lo sameis es yadchav lo sikpos es yadchav miachicha evyon, there's an issur d'oraisa. Somebody asks you for tzedakah and you say you sort of ignore them, that's a violation of an issur d'oraisa. Now that theoretically could, that scenario could occur many times a day, and especially when you have people coming through quite often, that could be very, very scary to imagine that any time you might not respond and not open up your pocket and your heart and your hands, that you're in violation of besides being mevatel mitzvaseh, but indeed being over a lo sa'aseh midoraisa. So of course, it's not a lo sa'aseh that gets malkos, so that's for whatever that's worth, at least we're not getting malkos because it's a lav shame b'maisa, of course. But I want to give a number of parameters. There's a nice little sefer here, Baruch Tzedakah, just one page from the sefer that talks about various scenarios where a person would or might not violate the issur d'oraisa of not giving tzedakah when asked. So number one, it is okay for a person to say that they have set hours. That seems to be the case. A person could say, I have set hours, but that doesn't mean that if your person's asked outside those set hours, that they're therefore exempt from giving tzedakah. But we'll develop that in a moment. He quotes from Rebbe Yashiv an interesting idea. A person is entitled to not answer the door if you don't know who's at the door. Meaning, if you get a knock on your door, ringing the bell, and you're working on, you're learning, you're doing your taxes, you're talking to your wife, and you just don't want to answer the door, you don't have to answer your door. If, however, you have a closed-circuit TV, and you're sitting schmoozing with your wife, and you look up at the monitor, and you see, oh, it's somebody who you don't recognize who's dressed in a certain way, and say, then I'm not answering the door, that would be a problem. But if you just don't know who's at the door, you don't have a closed-circuit TV, and you just, someone's knocking the door, you don't know who it is, it might be the next-door neighbor, it might be me, it might be somebody who's asking for tzedakah, then you have every right to ignore the door. No one says you have to answer the door to your house. That would be one ha'ara. As far as the mail that we receive, at this point we receive so many pieces of mail, I'm sure nobody imagines that could be an issur d'oraisa to not respond. But why should that be true? Why should it be true that if somebody asks you via mail, that's not a violation of lo sa'ameis es yadcha? So he quotes an interesting svara, also from Rebbe Yashiv. It's not the fact that, it's in mail as opposed to in person. Rebbe Yashiv doesn't focus on that. He says that if this is a kloliistic request, the person who sends out a mail to 5,000 addresses, maybe even 50,000 addresses for all we know, and therefore it's not the request is not directed to one individual or to this specific person or to you yourself, it's addressed to just Achenu b'nei Yisrael, Rachmanu b'nei Rachmanu, Goli chasadim b'nei Goli chasadim. So therefore, if that's the case, so it's not a direct request from you personally, it's a mass mailing, that does not have the din of Pasav Tiftachas Yadcha, or certainly not Lo Sametzes Yadcha, because you tell, there's no issur d'oraisa to not respond to mail. Of course, I'm not saying that you shouldn't give tzedakah, we should give tzedakah, respond to mailings, if you know their veracity thereof, but there's no issur d'oraisa to not respond to a mailing. One interesting situation which can come up is if somebody is raising money on behalf of an organization or on behalf of a Tomchei Shabbos, a tzedakah organization, or a bunch of families that they're raising money for, the issur d'oraisa does not apply in that situation. The issur d'oraisa of lo sa'ameis es yadcha is when the poor person themselves present themselves to you, and you say no to the individual who's asking for himself or herself, that's where the issur d'oraisa would apply, but not somebody who's collecting on behalf of a gabbai tzedakah, who's collecting on behalf of other aniyim, and separately, also this issur only applies to poor people and not to any organizations of any type, whether they're chesed organizations, shuls, erevin, mikvahs, chesed organizations, high lifeline type of situations. And that's clear in the pasuk itself. The pasuk says, "Lo sameis yedcha me'achicha ha'evyon." So you see that the pasuk is limited to achicha ha'evyon, a poor person, not to all kinds of other wonderful causes that all are worthy of our support. But at least as far as the literal violation of the issa d'oraisa, that doesn't apply to all those other situations. Sorry. Are you obligated to assume that anyone who asks is an avion? I think that's probably the most nogea point. If you don't know if the person is indeed poor, and especially in a situation society where there are many situations where that's not the case, then you're not obligated to give the person. If you know the person is poor, sometimes you could either deduce, or you know the person for a long time, you know that indeed they are poor. Then you do have the chiyuv. But if a person doesn't know whether that's true or not, as could often be the case, there are many people who then you're not obligated to give. If you want to give a small amount, that's great. If you're not, then that's also great. It's not great, but if you don't know who the person is, you don't know the veracity of the evyonus of the person, of the oni of the person. So again, there will not be the chiyuv, the is violation, the is daraisa, if you don't know the veracity of the situation. You're asking a good question. It happens to be, my brother wrote an article regarding Matanos le'evyonim, where the same word is used. Matanos le'evyonim and lo sameis yedcha ha'evyon, same word is used. So I'm wondering if that, I'm not learning up Gzeira Shava now, but I'm wondering if the parameters for an evyon, legabi hilchos, matanos le'evyonim on Purim, which is more severe and more limiting than a regular ani, I don't remember what my brother concluded in that article.
They're desperate, like, they have nothing to eat.
Right, they don't have enough meat, they don't have enough food for the next meal. Nowadays, I don't know if we would work with those parameters, but I don't know the answer to your question. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. It's a good question.